Professor Buzz Scher breaks down informed consent for search when a driver is pulled over by the police. This is The Legal Impact, presented by the University of New Hampshire Franklin Pierce School of Law, now accepting applications for JD graduate programs and online professional certificates. Learn more and apply at law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Buzz, give some historical context before we get into how things work today. Ultimately, I'm assuming rights around this are mostly from like the last 100 years or so.
Well, actually, the Supreme Court took this up 10 or 20 years ago. The basic situation has been around forever. You see it in two different contexts. As to a car, you get pulled over by the police for like your license plate light being out or rear tail light being out or something. And they engage you in conversation that doesn't necessarily have to do with the license plate light being out or the taillight being out. And they engage you in conversation and extend the stop a little bit. And then they say, "You mind if I search your car?" Everybody in that situation has a constitutional right to refuse to consent to the search of their car and require that the police officer go get a search warrant to search the car. But there has been, the U.S. Supreme Court decided, several years ago that the officer did not have to inform the person he was asking for consent to search that they had a right to refuse.
Oh, okay, so it's a little more, we're just going to ask, and you have to know that you can say no.
Yeah, you don't have to know that. Yeah, that's what the U.S. Supreme Court said. Note what's going on here. It's not like you're creating a new right for a criminal defendant in those circumstances if they find something in the car and they get charged. You're just letting them know what their rights are. It's kind of like Miranda, but far less burdensome and significant than Miranda in terms of what they have to do. So there are now, in the early part of this century and the last part of the 20th century, there are a number of states, for one reason or another, who found that the police in their state, under the state constitution, under their interpretation of their state constitution, did have to inform the driver of their right to refuse. States like Washington State, Arkansas, Mississippi, and those state Supreme Courts found that they had that right. They had to be informed, and the state of Colorado passed a statute that said that. And then there's a number of jurisdictions around the country, municipalities that do it, like Chicago, West Memphis, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, New Orleans, and my personal favorite, the town of Wentworth, New Hampshire.
What happened with Wentworth?
They just have it on their consent to search form. You have a constitutional right to refuse to consent.
Now, are a lot of states doing this based off of just in general, like Wentworth, where it's we want to make sure that the populace is aware of their rights versus an inciting incident?
I think the general logic is that circumstance, particularly with cars, although some of these rulings apply to all searches, searches of houses, et cetera. The general feeling is that, particularly with cars, in that circumstance, there is a dramatic power imbalance between the police officer and the driver who's standing there, and for however long, that the driver doesn't know that the law is once the officer has transacted his business, he has to let the person go, unless he has an additional reasonable suspicion to hold them longer. So, but they don't tell them that. So there's this sense that I'm here until the officer's done doing whatever he wants to do. So, boy, I better agree with him because otherwise they're just going to go get a search warrant. And none of that's true, but you know, that's it's an easy common sense remedy to that situation. It's just writing the power imbalance a little. It's not saying all it's doing is saying you have this right. It's not creating a new right. It's just saying, by the way, you have this right to refuse to search. That's I think the motive. It's a recognition of how easy it is for an officer to intimidate someone into consenting to search, whether they want to or not.
What's the difference when it comes to like an apartment or a house versus your car when it comes to something like this?
I think an argument could be made that the power imbalance is less when you're at home in the, you know, standing right outside your apartment door and the officer has engaged you in chat and you there's a little more sense of security in being at home than being out on, you know, I-93 in the middle of the night between Concord and Hanover being pulled over for speeding. And there you are, not knowing how long you're going to be there and what's going on. And why is he asking to search my car? And the other thing that we've heard, generally speaking, and seen to some extent in some cases involving I-95 in New Hampshire, is that officers seem to be using this technique, this stop and talk technique, as some people call it, on people of color. They'll see a car go by with a person of color driving on I-95, usually a black person or a Latino, and they'll just start following them. And they'll pull them over for, you know, going slightly over the speed limit or something. And then they'll just say, so you were going 74 in a 70-mile-an-hour zone. Were you aware of that? And then we'll start talking and saying, so where are you going? And there's one case out of the federal district court in Concord where the officer said, so where are you going? We're going to Bangor, Maine. Why going to Bangor, Maine? I'm going to visit friends. Where do you live? In Massachusetts. You know, had nothing to do with the speeding ticket whatsoever. And just hanging in there and keeping them there. And, you know, they're done with the speeding ticket. And eventually they just say, hey, you mind if we search your car? So there's some evidence, anecdotal, because no one keeps this data, that this technique is particularly being used by the motor vehicle team on state police have on I-95, which they identify as a drug trafficking alley. The state of the law currently in New Hampshire, the Supreme Court confronted this case like 16 years ago in a case versus State versus Johnstone, where it was a house circumstance, not a car circumstance. And they said, you know, we're not ready to adopt a Washington state rule quite yet. We recognize it. We recognize the value of it. And they said, we're not ready to adopt that rule today. So there is a bill that was just filed in the New Hampshire legislature says the police officer must tell them they have a right to refuse the search, must tell them that their refusal will not constitute a crime or a violation, that simply by the mere refusal to consent to search doesn't give them probable cause to get a search warrant. Just basically lays out what is that, the state of the law that applies to them.
And I'm guessing on the other side of it, law enforcement and their advocates would say, basically no one's going to consent from now on. So, I mean, what would the remedy for it be for something like that?
They couldn't use what they found in the search if they didn't have a valid consent. Now, they're going to say that, but I take you back to the early 60s when Miranda versus Arizona was passed, and pretty much every national law enforcement figure and state law enforcement figure and local law enforcement figure said, this is the end. We're never again going to get a confession because no one is ever going to confess when they're informed that they have a right to counsel and they have a right to remain silent. Well, there was a study done 10 or 15 years ago, 50 years into Miranda, more or less, that showed that's just not been the case. That was a way, way overblown concern. So I don't think there's any evidence. I think there's evidence to the opposite. I mean, if you're told you have a right to a lawyer when you're being interrogated in custody of the police and you're being interrogated by the police, there's a normal rate of people not picking up on that option. Really, do you think in a less troublesome circumstance, they're just asking, can we search your car? They're going to all of a sudden, nobody's going to agree.
Isn't it a little different in this situation, though? Because with a lawyer, there comes financial impact, which people don't know whether they're for sure they would get an attorney pro bono or anything.
That's not true. As part of Miranda, they get told, you have a right to a lawyer, and if you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you.
That's a good point, yeah. Now, how would a police officer be able to, if they have reasonable suspicion that there's something in this vehicle they got to search for and the person refuses with a law like this, what would the next steps be for law enforcement?
Well, a key word, you set of words you use there, if they have reasonable suspicion, let me do the right order. If they have probable cause to believe there's something in the car, they can detain the person in the car while they go get a search warrant.
Okay.
Not a problem. If they have reasonable suspicion to believe there's something in the car, they can detain them a little longer to try and clear that up. Search of a car is more significant than briefly detaining you to transact a speeding ticket, right? And so the burden on the government, on the police officer, to justify what they want to do increases the more significant the intrusion on your privacy becomes. So they probably can't detain them. If they only have reasonable suspicion to believe something's in the car, they can ask a question, do you consent to search? But if they say no, that's it. They don't have enough evidence to go get a problem. They don't have probable cause. They need probable cause to get a search warrant. Reasonable suspicion level of justification is not enough. So unless they got probable cause from the further discussion they had with the person, they can't do it. Go ahead.
Is this likely to be staying as a states' rights issue, do you think? Or with the recent pushes for police reform, do you expect this to kind of become part of that? It seems like a low-hanging fruit for people that want some form of police reform.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a common sense police reform. It really like informed consent. It's like when you're going in to have an operation in the hospital, your doctor has to tell you what the hell's going on, right? It's just informed consent for car search consents. It's not the end of the world for police investigation. I mean, you could make the argument that Miranda was much more the possibility of the end of the world for police investigation than this is. So it's pretty common sense. It's a pretty light lift. It's not creating any new rights for a criminal defendant, which, in a sense, Miranda did. It's just a notice requirement. We have hopes.
Thanks for listening to The Legal Impact, presented by UNH Franklin Pierce School of Law. To help spread word about the show, please be sure to subscribe and comment on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify.